Well, yes, it is that time of the week. It's time to talk to Riley Gates, our Wildcat insider. Go Powercat, GoParacat.com, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Riley, who is now famous for his tweeting. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that Riley Gates' tweets are now all over national TV stations and cable networks everywhere. How do you do it, man?
You know, people ask me all the time, how do you handle Twitter? You're so good at it.
You're celebrity.
Yeah. And I just say, well, you don't actually mean that, because they don't mean that. They don't actually like my Twitter that much. They actually hate it.
Well, I will say this. I'm actually one that would rather not have my tweets on Fox and Friends or any of those networks, because because that scares me, the fact they could find that so quickly and put it up there. That means you're on the radar, buddy, so you can never make a mistake for the rest of your life. People are watching you.
Well, what it does tell me is I have a future in stand-up comedy at the least.
Oh, well.
So that's always nice to know I have that safety net.
Wow. Dusty, do you think he has a chance at stand-up comedy in the future?
No.
I didn't think so. Yeah, that he's not the best color commentator in the league for nothing, Riley. No. All right. Well, let's jump into it, man. It's almost here, man. It's almost here. Season opener coming up Saturday, the first game of the Chris Kleiman era. The regime change is completely official when we get the first game of the year coming up on Saturday. So your overall quick observations about this team as they head into their season opener on Saturday.
I think they feel good, you know, for being a team that went 5-7 a year ago and lost its head coach. I feel like they're ahead of where a lot of people thought they would be, and I think that a lot of that just has to go with, you know, what we've been talking about for the last 8 months now is just the culture, the coaching, the attitude that the new staff has brought in. They've gotten a lot of these guys to buy back into football. They've gotten them to buy back into working hard and getting after it. And I think that that's really showing up on the field right now. And I think that there's obviously some concerns. They're not going to be the most talented team in the Big 12. I mean, they've got good players at different spots. And then, you know, you look at some other positions and you're a little bit concerned about how that spot's going to match up with some of the, you know, better players in the Big 12, the Oklahomas, the Texases. But overall, I really think that this team is in a good spot. I think that they can really get the ball moving here and really kind of start on a positive note. You know, you got your two non-conference games, which you never want to say that they're gimmies, because we saw last year they're not gimmies, but, you know, you can get the ball rolling. Mississippi State's obviously in a little bit of turmoil right now with some suspended players. And then you've got two toss-ups at the start. And if they can get that ball rolling real quick, if they can get some early wins, maybe steal one of those early Big 12 wins, man, you got to feel good about the direction this team's headed.
So now that we're close to the first game of the year, any surprises at certain positions as to where people are on the depth chart, or who you think will be impact players? Any surprises right now?
I was shocked to see Evan Curl pop up as the left guard. He's on an OR with Josh Revis at left guard. I had been kind of under the impression that it was going to be Josh Revis or Noah Johnson. But, you know, Evan Curl has apparently inserted himself into there, and I think we'll probably see him take the first snap at left guard. Wide receiver is also very interesting right now, because you've got Shone at the top spot, and you kind of figured either Malik Knowles or Trevashion Taylor at the other top spot. But here's Wyking Gill making a name for himself as the number two option, and Trevashion Taylor's not even on the two deep. You've got Wyking Gill, Phillip Brooks, Landry Weber, Dalton Shone, and Malik Knowles as the five receivers listed on the depth chart. That really was that was shocking to me. And also on the defensive side of the ball, Reggie Walker is the listed starter, but it's an or with Kyle Ball rather than Kyle Ball being the number two guy. And honestly, that definitely caught my eye. It either tells me, you know, Kyle Ball's been working really hard and getting after it, or maybe Reggie's been slipping up a little bit here as the season creeps up on us. But for the most part, the depth chart yesterday that came out really shook out the way we kind of thought it would all around. Most of the positions kind of went how we envisioned them going, and very minimal positions that we were waiting on to see because of how open Chris Kleiman's been.
All right, so Nichols is the opponent coming up on Saturday, 6 o'clock, Bill Snyder Family Stadium. And Nichols, a team that won in Lawrence last year, first week of the season, but it was Kansas. So can we put a lot of stock in that? I don't know. You know, it's people make fun of it and everything, but at the same time, anytime you can go on the road and beat somebody in a Big 12 venue, some of these players are not going to be intimidated.
Right, and I think that a lot of it has to do with North Dakota State doing what they've done recently in terms of beating Power 5 schools. But I think a lot of these FCS schools are starting to realize, you know, we're not that far off. You know, mm-hmm. We're a lower level. We don't have the same talent, but we are still good football players. We're still a good team. So, I think that's starting to become a thing now. Nichols is also ranked 13th in the FCS preseason rankings. And, you know, I think that they have – I was starting to dive into them a little bit more this week, but they do have a returning quarterback, and obviously that's always going to get you over the top in those tight battles, or you know, maybe give you an edge in a game that you might not have a chance in, especially when it's a returning quarterback from a 9-4 team a year ago. And so I do think that they're a good team of all the FCS teams out there. You know, it's definitely not a doormat team, but it's also not a team that should really give K-State fits. You know, I think they might battle hard, but if you're K-State, you want to come out right out of the gate and just throttle them. You know, don't waste any time. Don't give them any hope, because once they get that sense of hope, the potential chance to win, excuse me, then they're really going to get going. And you know, you could really see an upset there if they have that confidence going, you know, late third quarter, early fourth quarter.
What kind of environment do you expect to see? I know I'm going to the game. I'm sure Dusty's going to the game. I'm going to be in the stands. You'll be in your cushy press box, I'm sure, with, you know, free food and all that good jazz. Dusty, are you going to K-State game Saturday? What a shocker. Okay, so Dusty's going to be there too, but I'll be down with the fans, and I'm interested to see what the crowd – I think there's going to be a different type of energy or electricity. What do you think the crowd and environment's going to be like Saturday for the first game under Coach Klieman?
Well, you know, you hope that you can fill the stands or mostly fill the stands. They've been having a lot of issues with some ticket sales, but it sounds like they're starting to close in on a sellout for this one, so that's good. Here's the thing with the first game of the season. It's never usually against a powerhouse team, a team that's going to get you on your feet for four quarters, you know, unless it was a close game. But the first game of the season is always the optimistic one, right? It's always the one where, hey, you could go 12-0 and you're happy to have football back. So, I mean, I think right out of the gates, you know, the first quarter primarily, you're going to have a pretty rowdy crowd, I think. It'll be a 6 o'clock game, so, you know, you kind of had all day to get ready for the game, tailgate, whatever. And I think it'll be pretty loud and pretty energetic for that first quarter. The question comes, you know, second quarter rolls it around. Let's just say K-State's up 21-0. You know, how excited are fans to be there at that point? And then after halftime, are they really going to come back in if they're up by 30 or so? You know, obviously in a perfect world, K-State would be up by 30. I think that overall K-State fans are excited. You know, if you ask them on the street today, yeah, they're going to be a little bit hesitant just because of all the changes. But I think that they're ready to get back into Bill Snyder Family Stadium, watch some football, and cheer on the team.
Riley Gates, a Wildcat Insider, brought to you each and every Tuesday here on the Sports Ticket by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. All right, so I'm going to put you on the spot here with some predictions. You ready?
Yep.
And I will hold you to these because this is recorded. Predictions. K-State record this year at the end of the year will be what before a possible bowl game? What will their regular season record be?
You know, I've gone back and forth a lot on this. And I think that there's some definite toss-up games and I think that, like K-State usually does, they'll probably win one that they shouldn't win and lose one that they shouldn't lose. But I'm gonna lean on the side of optimistic, and I'm gonna say 7-5. I really think that this was a 6, if not a 7-1 football team a year ago, and I think that they know that. Now they're more bought into the system, and I think they'll get back to that mark. So I'm gonna go on the record of 7-5.
You know, I'm with you on that one, as long as Skylar Thompson stays healthy, of course. And if he stays healthy, I 7-5. If he gets hurt, then I think you're thinking 6-6, 5-7. All right, leads me on the next one. Skylar Thompson, a lot of people have been doing this with Patrick Mahomes. How many yards, how many touchdowns, how many interceptions for Mahomes after MVP season last year? I'm going to do the same thing with Skylar Thompson. Give me numbers for Thompson. Yards, touchdowns, interceptions.
I'd like to see him put. Well, I'll throw another one in there. Completion percentage. I'd like to see him go over 60. You know, we've seen a lot of successful quarterbacks, obviously, under Chris Kleiman, and I think that that 60 mark is going to get him to be successful. I'd like to see Skyler push, you know, for 2,000 yards passing. I think it's an offense that's obviously going to be designed to run first, but they're definitely going to utilize his skills, and he's been in the low thousands with more opportunities, so I think having full reign can get him over that 2,000 mark. Touchdowns. You know, that's just such a tough one. Man, I think I want to go ahead and I don't want to put the bar too high on what he could do touchdowns and interception wise, just because he was battling a lot with that back and forth battle a year ago. Had 9 last year. I think he can get to the 15. Probably somewhere from 15 to 20 is what I'll say on touchdowns. And interceptions, I think it's going to go higher. You know, he only had 4 last year and 3 the year before. I think it'll be a higher number just because of the more attempts, more time in there. Just, you know, kind of law of averages, I suppose. The more passes you throw, the better chance you have of throwing more interceptions. I'll go 8 to 10 on interceptions, which I think, honestly, if he could push for 20 touchdowns and kind of keep it under that 10 mark, that's a good bar to be at.
I got 17 and 10. 17 touchdowns, okay. 10 interceptions, and I'm right with you. I had like 2,100 yards, so pretty close. Okay, Big 12 champion this year will be?
Texas.
I thought you'd go with Texas. Oklahoma's got to replace a lot of their offensive line, although you know they got top-five recruits, and they do have Jalen Hurts, and he's going to be really good. But Texas, man, they finished strong last year.
I think it's truly time to say Texas is back. I think they've got all the pieces in place.
Okay. College football playoff picks. At the end of the year, the 4 playoff teams will be who?
Oh, boy, of course you went with this one. The one thing that I have not done whatsoever.
I just want you to know. I just want you to know that I was very lazy on this one, and I just simply went with the 4 that seemed to be there recently. So I had Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma. I didn't even take much time to deal with this. That's the 4 I went.
Right.
If Oklahoma doesn't win the Big 12, then I'll say I would probably have to put Texas in there as long as they don't stumble in the non-con. Although, you know, Notre Dame certainly independent. There's a chance they could sneak in if the Big 12 or the Pac-12 has, you know, teams with 2 or 3 losses. That's always possible. But I'm my picks are boring, so hopefully you can, you know, really entertain the audience with yours.
Well, you have to go with Clemson and Bama for sure.
Sure.
You know, I don't really see any way that with those returning quarterbacks and those programs that they won't be at the top of their conference and therefore into the playoff mix. I really like Georgia, but I'm gonna change it up here. And this is before looking at schedules. You know, I don't know who plays who in the SEC,
right.
But I feel like maybe this is LSU's year to get back into the mix.
Mm.
And I don't think it'd be the craziest thing to see 2 SEC West teams in there. So I'm going to say LSU as a 3rd. And, you know, I don't think that it'll be from the Big 12 this year. I think the Big 12 will kind of beat up on itself once again and probably keep someone out. And I think that Big 10 champion could snag that 4th spot, you know, whether that's Ohio State, whether it's Michigan. You know, maybe a Penn State sneaks into the picture, but I would probably feel most comfortable going on the record with Ohio State there.
Yes, yes.
At this moment in time, and you know, obviously, I reserve the right to change these picks just because I clearly, clearly am doing this on the fly. I will dive deep into it and get all 4 right. I just know I will.
Yeah, the 5th one for me would have been the Big Ten winner as well, and Ohio State would be my pick, although they have a new head coach. Urban Meyer's not there. Michigan, I just can't buy in because Harbaugh's head coach, and he just hasn't won those big, big games. So, yeah, maybe Nebraska. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think they're quite ready yet for that spot. But you never know. I think they'll be vastly improved from last year. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. Is it true, Riley Gates, that Fox and Friends has asked you to now be an energy consultant for their network? Is that true?
No, that is not true, unfortunately.
It's not. Okay, well, I hear they pay big bucks. That's unfortunate for you. Why don't you go ahead.
No, I will say that if anybody out there needs advice on on what to keep their houses at thermostat-wise. Clearly, I am one of the foremost authorities on this, so I'm happy to help you out and give you some advice.
If people don't know, there was a recent study, Energy Star, saying that your house should be at 78 degrees when you're living in it, and it should be 82 when you're sleeping and 85 when you're away from your house, when you're out of town. And Riley's tweet was...
I said that I would rather take out a loan and to pay my energy bill than leave my house at 78 degrees.
And that tweet made it national on Fox and Friends, so that's why we share that story with our listeners out there. All right, besides working on some really creative tweets, what are you working on right now, Go Power Cat?
Yeah, we actually just rolled out a story kind of describing the programming notes for the rest of the season this year, and we've got like a lot of really cool new things coming in. You know, the Power Chat videos will still continue. We just dropped our last one of season one today. We'll do one later on, but you know, the Power Chat will still be a thing. We're starting something called the Sample, which is four guys sitting around the table. It's not us, it's some other guys sitting around a table sampling some things from the Fridge Wholesale Liquor and talking about the games, just kind of like at a sports bar, you know, just talking about football, which is something really cool we're excited about. And then we rolled out a new podcast line this week, which is something I think really special. We've got a podcast every single day of the week, you know, whether it's us, whether it's, you know, we have an insiders podcast where we bring in some other people that cover the team. And, you know, it kind of replaces the, you know, a lot of people have been worried that, you know, hey, I don't necessarily get my K-State fix all week, you know, national radio people, local radio people at, you know, Kansas City level don't always talk about K-State. And so that's why we've inserted a podcast every day of the week so you can get your K-State fix. And then on top of all the writing stuff. So a lot of stuff about to come into Go Power Cat, so be sure to get on over there.
Well, all I know is the slacking time is over, Mr. Gates. It is time to step up, and you certainly have done that, and everybody on staff. And I know you guys are excited to get the ball rolling, and we'll be reading, we'll be watching, we'll be some of us at the game, some of us be watching on TV, listening to radio, whatever the case may be. And we can recap the season opener next Tuesday with you. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Yep, anytime.
Riley Gates, our Wildcat Insider, brought to you every Tuesday by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and also Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Every Tuesday, Riley Gates, our guest, to talk K-State Athletics. Coming up tomorrow, John Betts of Kansas Pregame will talk high school football. And on Thursday, the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Hay, will be with us to talk about KU's opener on Saturday as the Les Miles era will begin.